Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And we're back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Special program lined up for you. Serious stuff, but lots of hope. And you'll know what I mean in just a second. Ann Marsh is my guest today. She's senior editor and West Coast Bureau Chief of Financial Planning Magazine, one of my favorite magazines, by the way, and I've been a longtime reader. And Ann is here to help us understand a really serious subject and how not only financial planners like me can maybe help with this issue, but also really bringing awareness to a serious problem and concern, and that is military suicide. And there, a lot of it stems from what you may or may not expect, which, of course, is some of the financial issues. So Ann comes to us, of course, as an award-winning investigative journalist, and her investigation into the role of financial planning and how that could play a role in reducing military suicide resulted in a congressional legislation last year, and so they're looking into it, and we'll have Ann share more about that with us. Prior to joining Financial Planning Magazine in 2011, Ann had written the popular Money Makeover financial column for the Los Angeles Times for more than 5 years. So she's done a lot of work in this area. She's also co-authored several books, including Copy This, the autobiography of Kinko's founder. And so we're very glad to have her back to talk with us. And so, Ann, welcome to the program. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
All right. Excellent. So let's dive right in here. What prompted this research and investigation into this this problem for our society?
Well, sure. You know, as you know, being a reader of Financial Planning Magazine, we do not cover the military.
Yeah, so that kind of struck me.
Yeah, and not something that I ever expected to be writing about as a journalist, but we gave an award, a pro bono award. There are so many planners who do incredible work entirely for free with people who have needs. And
sure,
turns out there are planners around the country who do work with active duty soldiers and veterans who have financial struggles. And I met through, you know, our awards hunting process, a planner named Jan Chapman, who had an Army sergeant who said credited her with saving his life. And when
wow,
I checked that out and interviewed him, I found out that everything she had said about it was in fact true. And she had been working on base Fort Belvoir, Virginia, and had encountered Army Sergeant Angelo Stevens having a lot of financial problems. And he actually ended up overhearing him having a conversation with another financial planner. He had about $100,000 in debt, two very, very ill children, one with a severe form of epilepsy called Gastaut syndrome. And as he explained his problems to the other financial planner, that planner, rather than offering him advice for how to solve his problem and reduce his debt, she lectured him and shamed him. And as he walked out of the office, Jan Chapman had an instinct, and she ran after him and only learned later that at the time he thought, you know, if I die, my family could get $500,000, but I have to kill myself. That's the death benefit,
right,
that soldiers get from their life insurance policy, if they even if they in the event of suicide. So, you know, she says that she worked with him intensively on her own time and helped him come back from the brink. You know, helped guide him towards declaring bankruptcy, helped him reduce a huge amount of the debt just by negotiating with creditors, and really helped pull him back from the brink. And he wrote a commendation to her for doing that to the military, and as a result, she was fired because she had gone beyond the scope of her contract. So this pointed out this entire phenomenon. And if you looked at the very high epidemic rates of military suicide, you find the financial stress in almost every category that they classify, covering all precipitating factors to suicide, suicide attempts. You could describe the lion's share of those as financial as well. So the military knows that financial stress has been a huge precipitating factor to these suicides. And what people have told me who work directly with members of the military is they find it's often that final straw. You know, maybe so many other problems in an individual's life, depression and drug use and divorce and problems at work. And then when they cannot resolve a financial problem or there's a financial crisis, then that can be this triggering event to cause people to end their lives. And so my investigation really pointed out that there's a big break right now in delivering services to these men and women in crisis. As you probably know, as most Americans do, we've got about three soldiers for active duty across reserves or active duty, because reserves these days are pretty much active duty quite often, but it's about three soldiers every 2 days dying.
Mm.
And the numbers have been extraordinarily high. You know, in the early, right after the start of the wars in the Middle East, it used to be that being in the military, right before them, it used to be that if you were in the military, being in the military had a somewhat protective effect upon you when it came to suicide risk.
Hmm.
The rates were somewhat lower than those in the civilian world. And around 2005, 2006, they started to spike. 2008, the military started keeping track every year of statistics. And there was a real high in 2012. It dipped a little in 2013, very high again in 2014. We don't have complete numbers for 2015 yet. It takes a long time to analyze this data. Preliminary numbers for this year show a slight drop in the first quarter, but there are very frequently these worrying signs, like the Army's had another spike earlier this year in suicides, despite the fact that they're in a drawdown.
Yeah, that struck me as surprising.
Yeah, so it's really troubling, and the military, frankly, has very good reason not want financial planners to sort of go beyond education and helping their military men and women, because there has been and truly continues to be financial predation.
Yeah, right.
Because they're being sold inappropriate products, but there's a lot of people out there right now trying to think creatively about how can you deliver that kind of financial planning help to these men and women. In crisis, particularly, because how do you get financial planners who really are able to help and want to help, possibly for free, like on a pro bono basis? How do you deliver that help to them? So, I mean, as you said, there was a congressional legislation that passed as a result of our investigation. That was to study. A study's been funded into the links between military suicide and financial stress, and that passed in December. That study should have started 2 months ago. We have very few details about what it's going to entail. The Pentagon's being very mum about that. As you probably
understandably,
not
right?
To hear that.
Yeah.
Being the Pentagon. There were some other very important legislation that followed on, which was that both the House and Senate passed legislation that would dramatically increase allocations to financial literacy training in the military, raising financial literacy to a top readiness priority across the entire military. It's yet to be signed by President Obama, but that's hopeful, and there's an important reform that has capped lending to active duty members of the military at 36%, which if that it fully goes through, it's a huge change.
Excellent.
These are all really hopeful things, but I think, again, we're still not getting the financial planning help these active duty soldiers who need it, and of course not to veterans. That's a very vulnerable population.
We've got,
22 suicides a day, but that's frankly very underestimated. It's probably very well be multiple times that number.
Yeah, well, it's something that is a serious issue, and we need to be very aware of it, and we'll broaden this as we come back from the break, and we'll talk a little bit more generally about this issue and problem and challenge. So if you're just joining us, Ann Marsh is our guest today, Senior Editor and West Coast Bureau Chief of Financial Planning Magazine, and of course the website, financial-planning.com, financial-planning.com. A lot of great writing and work over there, and a lot of good stuff from Ann you'll find there as well. Let's grab a quick break. We'll be right back with Ann Marsh. Stay right there.
You wouldn't drop your car off for repair service without first getting an estimate, would you? Of course not. Then why would you treat your all-important investment portfolio any different? Overlooked fees can really add up. Here's an example. Did you know that an extra fee of 1% on a $100,000 portfolio would equal $10,000 after 10 years. That's a lot of money. Do you know how much you're paying in fees? Why don't you get a second opinion from David Holland and invest with confidence? Call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Ann Marsh with me, Senior Editor and West Coast Bureau Chief of Financial Planning Magazine. And it's a treat to speak with her after following the magazine for so long. So we're talking about this very serious issue of suicide rates in the military and also among veterans, those that have already served. And a lot of it is due to this financial stress, Ann. And I tell you, I see a broader application, of course, for people. And I know that you've been following the legislation and some of the things going on. There, your comment when you gave the story earlier about the example of the military person that saw his own death as a way out of the financial mess that he was in for the benefit of his family, you know, I mean, that's very very symbolic of a way, you know, the role that our military takes for us every day and putting their lives on the line. And of course, he was taking it another step there, but it was born out of, you know, the desperate situation. So let's take that and look at that. This is something obviously that will continue to get a lot of attention, and there'll hopefully be better things that come down the road. Let's take that and broaden that a little bit. For everyone else out there, you know, obviously, if there's anybody listening that's in the military or veterans, that, you know, that there are solutions. The first thing is there is hope, right? I mean, there are solutions. There are financial planners that will sit down and talk with them, and many that will do that at no charge to help. I know I would, if anybody needs that kind of help, be happy to talk with them and see if I can help them if they're at the end of their rope to, you know, to deal with these things. But, you know, what are some of the things you would say to people out there that, you know, that they feel that, you know, that they have no choices?
Well, you are right. There are planners who will help, and some of those planners can be found through the Financial Planning Association.
All right, good.
If an individual wants to go to the Financial Planning Association website, their local website, there are chapters that do pro bono work throughout the country.
There you go.
The probably most effective one to reach right now might be to start with Massachusetts, just to call Massachusetts. And there's an individual named Dick Power, and Dick has been running the pro bono efforts with the military there.
Oh, good.
For many years, and he's got a particularly effective program. So he's really acting almost as sort of an ad hoc clearinghouse for a lot of folks who are trying to help.
That's
I
wonderful.
Should mention that the Veterans Crisis Line, for anybody listening, this is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. That's 1-800-273-8255, press 1. Last time, 800-273-8255, press 1. I think that's just important to mention that number is always there, too. Certainly for people who want planning work, there are planners out there who are trying, and there is, there aren't same prohibitions about helping veterans as there are about active duty soldiers. They're out of the military, and in some cases it can be easier for planners to help those individuals. Our magazine, Financial Planning Magazine, our publication has editorialized to urge all financial planners in the country who are fiduciaries and work on able to do some pro bono work to take a veteran on a pro bono basis and work with them to help them with whatever troubles they might be facing. And we know around the country quite a number of folks have taken up that call and are doing that kind of work. But unfortunately, it's not as widespread and systemic as it needs to be, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing that I have said in my talk to planners, that it's time to think creatively about how to come up with mechanisms by which truly ethical planning can be delivered to these men and women who need it. We really need some creative thinking about that, because we don't really have a robust mechanism by which people can deliver that help.
Well, good
point.
Good point, Anna. And you know, I'll give a little backdoor secret here for the listeners that maybe find themselves in this circumstance. It's until there is a more comprehensive solution that is developed. And, you know, a backdoor kind of a secret within the industry is that a lot of good quality financial planners are out there. There are lots of them, and they will take somebody, you know, a lot of them will offer a no cost, no obligation consultation to explore whether or not there is a relationship. And, you know, so I would encourage anybody who's in that case, you know, if they're thinking that, that maybe a financial planner could help them, not to hesitate, you know, reach out and find somebody and say, I'd like to come and just talk to you about where I'm at. And maybe if not pro bono, they might even do it on a reduced fee or provide some initial guidance at no charge. And then there are other resources also as well. You mentioned a couple I've had on the program. The National Credit Foundation has been on our National Federation for Credit Foundation. We've had them on, and that's nfcc.org, and they do credit counseling. They have partner agencies all over the country, and that is, you know, another possible option for people that, you know, there is, no matter how bad the financial situation is, very often there are options and solutions that can be found.
That's true. Yeah,
there really are. I mean, I'm speaking to somebody out there and it's listening to us and going, no, you guys don't know how bad things are. No, there are options that, and, you know, our society has things in place that give people an ability to, you know, work through some of the very difficult financial circumstances, that it is something that can be dealt with. Don't give up hope. This is not a suicide hotline. I mean, but I really feel like we need to speak to the man if there's somebody out there that feels like there is no hope and that it is just doom. There is hope, and take some time to explore those options, because it can be something that can be addressed.
Yeah, and to that point, part of the reason we urge planning firms to simply take on one veteran client on a pro bono basis is some of these men and women do have issues that are going to go far beyond a single consultation. Many of them will need support for a month, if not longer. And I know veterans around the country who have benefited from that kind of community support, and it has saved their lives. Even an individual not mentioned in the story, but who, it was a local bank who saw the circumstances he was in and decided to change his, you know, refinance his loan and give him help and allowed him to remain in his home. And he credits that move with absolutely helping to keep him on the planet. So I think that's part of the trick with some of these financial circumstances these men and women find themselves in, is they don't necessarily come with an easy remedy. Some will, but not all. Others are going to take a sustained application of effort to help these individuals work through their problems. But as you've just said, David, there are planners out there who are willing to do that work. And some will do it for compensation of a reasonable, you know, amount, and others will do it for a pro bono basis. And how do we connect more of those individuals with the men and women in our military and our veteran communities in need? That remains our challenge. But I agree with you in that any kind of proactive effort these individuals take, there are people out there who want to help.
Absolutely. If you're just joining us, Ann Marsh is on the line, ladies and gentlemen, and we're just having a, you know, honest conversation here about some of these challenges and ways people can address it. She's senior editor and West Coast Bureau Chief of Financial Planning Magazine. Quick break. We'll come back and talk a little more. Stay right there.
Have you considered an annuity as part of your retirement plan? Did you know that over the past several years, Americans put trillions of dollars into annuities? But despite their popularity, many people aren't sure about annuities. Why? Because annuities have been attacked for decades by financial folks who offer competing products or services. A lot of money is at stake, so some financial firms who only offer investments don't want you to consider an annuity. Get the facts. Find out about this valuable financial resource. Call Holland Financial today and get your free copy of Annuities as Part of Your Retirement Plan at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back with Ann Marsh, Senior Editor and West Coast Bureau Chief of Financial Planning Magazine, and talking about the suicide in general and also about the military and veterans. You know, I want to make sure people are clear, Ann, neither you nor I are suggesting that all the solutions are easy for somebody facing financial difficulty, but there are options. And, you know, I made this mistake before, and I'll correct myself again. I keep wanting to make it like part of the name is National Foundation for Credit Counseling. I always want to throw Federation in there like it's part of Star Trek or something. I don't know. Too much television, maybe, Ann. I don't know. But National Foundation for Credit Counseling and NFCC.org. Credit counseling, debt, credit card, debt counseling, bankruptcy counseling. That's what we're talking about in some cases. Debt management plans. All those things are things that people can get resources and help on. So NFCC.org. Going forward, Ann, you know, I think that if people are looking at this, other thoughts you have about, you know, that people can get more involved with this or things people can do from where they are, what other resources do you think or other recommendations do we have for people?
Well, I already have mentioned the Financial Planning Association,
yes.
But that is an excellent place where people can at least start. There are individuals around the country.
Good.
We're living in areas of the country where the FCA does not yet have a pro bono program for financial planning. And so planners around the country are contacting their local FCA offices and saying, this is something I'd like to be involved with, or this is something I would like to start. And I do think that is an excellent place to begin. Some planners have taken it a step beyond in that they have, if they have some time, they can adapt some of their practice to actually helping the military on a more formalized basis. Some have begun to work under contract with the military. You can actually work through one of the military contractors to do financial planning work directly with active duty soldiers and veterans. It can be difficult because they really are wanting at this point to really restrict you to providing financial education. And sometimes that's insufficient when somebody is truly in financial crisis. That said, there are those planners out there who really do their best to push the borders of the definition of education and really try to provide significant help when they encounter somebody who's really in trouble. And I do know planners who've made the shift from working purely in a civilian context to doing that kind of work, and they found it to be incredibly rewarding, even if it's difficult. It's very difficult work, there's no question about it. And then there are relief societies, actually, in various branches of the military where there are folks who are not under military contract, at least not in in the same way they would be if they were paid full-time planners working for pay, but working through these relief societies. I know the Navy has a very established one. That's another way where you can provide help with members of the military, often on base. So those are three mechanisms that occur to me immediately. And then for planners who want to continue working in the civilian world, it would be to find ways in your community to do outreach to veterans and see if there are ways of finding people who are particularly in crisis.
Yeah.
I think it's high debt is a huge problem. And that's not an area that planners tend to be trained in because usually you're working with clients who have money.
Right, right.
What do you do when you've got somebody in high debt? That's
it. Right.
But there are places we can learn about how to advise people on the reduction of high debt, not just bankruptcy solutions.
Right, right, sure.
Those are some strategies.
That's good. No, that's good. And I'll throw one more. We're kind of stacking up the resources here, and I don't think we can put too many on the table for people. And, you know, the other thing is another resource. They can go to CFP.net, do a search of certified financial planners in the country, and, you know, they can search within, you know, a 5 or 25-mile radius of where they are. And it's a real simple thing, CFP.net. And here's what's good about that is that, you know, you made the point, which is excellent, that a lot of financial planners are working with people with money. But in doing that, you know, a lot of them are collecting fees and they're getting paid. And a lot of CFPs, you know, because they've gone that extra step of getting the additional credential beyond just a license, many of them do well. Many of them do well. And they then have, for lack of a better way of describing it, they have the luxury of having time that they can afford to devote to getting some guidance, giving guidance, and may be willing to, as you said, you know, talked about the pro bono work. They might be very willing to say, yeah, sure, come in and let me give you some guidance. And it's a feel good for the planner.
True.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just call it what it is, because I've had people come in. Let me give you an example for our listeners to understand. I've had people come in and meet with me. You know, we do not heavily screen people when they call my office. We don't ask them 57 questions. If somebody wants to come in and visit with me about their financial situation, you know, we'll have them come in. And if somebody is, you know, said, look, here's where I'm at, I need some guidance, you know what? I've got time for that in my day. And I'm not going to do it 8 hours a day, but I certainly can take some time to help someone, especially if they have served our country, either are now or are, you know, have in the past, and they are a veteran. You know, we owe them, I think, a measure of additional courtesy, and happy to do that. And I think, as you have said, a lot of other planners will do the same. So there you have it. All right. Mm-hmm. And well, this has been very helpful. You've shed some light on a very serious subject, and I thank you very much for what you're doing, and also the impetus you have provided to make really put a spotlight on this. And I would encourage our listeners to go to the website, financialplanning.com. Don't forget the hyphen, financial-planning.com. And Ann Marsh has been our guest today, Senior Editor and West Coast Bureau Chief of Financial Planning Magazine. Thank you very much, Ann, for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.